It's Friday, May 6th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians took the first game of a four-game weekend series from the Toronto Blue Jays on Thursday night, and we saw something maybe some of us didn't expect to see this year, a Stephen Kwan two-run home run. Is there anything this kid can't do?
I know, it's really, he's an exciting guy, Joe. He's injected a lot of energy into this lineup, and that's the last thing I thought he'd get was a home run. Hit the home run, a two-run homer on a 3-2 pitch in the third inning. Just got out to right field there, and after the game, I guess he was talking Franmil Reyes, and he said, you know, he said, if I couldn't hit one out at Yankee Stadium, he just missed one at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. He goes, I'm not going to hit a home run all year. And Reyes was laughing about that.
Well, it's funny you bring up Reyes because the two of them sort of switched roles in that game last night. It was Kwan providing the power and the slugging, and it was Reyes with three base hits to sort of show a pulse, a sign of life that maybe he's ready to break out of this prolonged slump that he's been in.
Yeah, definitely. It was really a good night for Reyes. He had a single to right field, single to left field, single to center. And I loved it where he went to first to third, moving 270 pounds like he was Usain Bolt. Yeah. on a single by Jimenez and to set up, you know, the go-ahead run. So that was really interesting. I was talking to Reyes, you know, not last night, but the night before. And he said, you know, he's trying to simplify his swing, trying to not hit a three-run homer with nobody else on base. He's choking up more on the bat, something he usually doesn't do. And he's just concentrating on one pitch and trying to do as much as he can with that one pitch. And, you know, Victor Rodriguez has talked to him about, you know, just simplifying his swing, just, you know, getting back to basics. And, you know, he's gotten some advice, too, from a couple of guys that know how to hit the ball or know a lot about hitting the ball. David Ortiz and Vladimir Guerrero Sr., you know, have talked to Franmil or talked to Rodriguez and passed along some encouragement.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear that he would be getting advice from, you know, those individuals, but also those are both Dominican players. It's a tight-knit community. Those that, you know, there's a connection there, understandable why they would be in contact and talking to Reyes. I guess just to see Reyes, you know, put at least one game together like that is encouraging because he's sort of that key to that lineup that sort of bridges the top to the bottom of that lineup. And you've got guys hitting behind him right now. Like Andrés Giménez is making contact, is putting the ball in play, is, you know, driving the ball now, starting to drive the ball a little more. So if you can have that and have Reyes connect the top to the bottom of the order there, you know, things start to look a lot more encouraging for this offense.
Yeah, you know, that's a great way of putting it. You know, they've kind of moved Reyes down into the number five spot, even lower a couple times. You know, Naylor hit cleanup last night. And then, you know, if he can come around, you know, definitely, you know, you got some protection for Ramirez, you know, Straw and Kwan keep getting on base. Who's out, you know, hitting in the number two, first and second. And then you've got Giménez, you know, and Naylor, you know, maybe he could link with those guys if they're hitting sixth or seventh, you know, that then it becomes a pretty dangerous lineup. And these guys are, you know, they're hitting the ball. They're you know, one of the average wise, they're one of the top, you know, teams in the American League as team batting average. I think they rank like third. They're hitting like 254 as a team, right? You know, and what the average batting average is like 233, you know, and that's kind of skewed by, you know, just the way they play. You know, it's that feast or famine offense. They score mm-hmm. like 10 runs every time they win and one run when they lose, but they have been swinging a bat.
It's definitely encouraging. And the other encouraging thing out of Thursday night's game, Aaron Civale goes out there and, you know, struggles in the first inning, gives up a 2-run home run to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And then after that, he was lights out.
Yeah, he was really good. You know, he was encouraged. I think Francona was encouraged, you know, because the first four starts have not gone well. He was 0-2 with a 10-plus ERA, and he gives up that 2-run jack to Guerrero in the first inning. It looked a lot like we were going to see the 2019 home run derby again. But, you know, he settled in. He had a great curveball last night, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's really, you know, if he throws six pitches and if he can get, you know, 50% of those six pitches working on any given night, he's going to have a good outing. And that really seemed to be the case. He sort of, you know, put aside, he threw some good cutters, he threw some good curveballs. So yeah, when he's able to diversify and expand hitter strike zones like that, he's really effective, and we haven't seen that yet this year. So it was nice to see him go a little deeper into the game. And then when he had to hand it off, he turned the ball over, and Nick Sandlin was able to work his way out of a jam in the seventh inning with a runner on third base. It just shows the trust that Francona has right now in a young guy like Sandlin. You know, not a whole lot of experience. We forget that he's only got about a year's worth of major league experience being up here already. And he's being put now and sort of being groomed for those late innings where he's setting up guys like Sean Class A and others.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the Toronto team is a dangerous team. You know, it looked like they had a 6-2. The Cleveland was up 6-2, and then Sandlin gives up the leadoff home run to Kirk, the catcher. Then, you know, Bradley Zimmer beats out a bunt, and our old buddy Bradley Zimmer beats out a bunt to break an 0-for-16 slump, steals second base, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's a one run ball game. And you know, like you said, Sandlin closed the door, and I thought, you know, getting back to Civale, he had a big inning in the fifth. You know, there was a wild pitch, and he put a guy on third base, you know, with no outs, really. There was a double and a wild pitch, and then he retired the next three batters. I thought that was, you know, a big stepping stone for him.
Yeah, just encouraging all the way around to see him sort of battle through and not let not let the momentum get away from him in that situation. Fun to watch that development there for Civale. I wanted to stop right here in the middle and let people know about Subtext, our messaging system and text service, where Hoynsey and I give you updates throughout the season and the off season, and, you know, right there on your phone. We text you directly and you can reply back. Cleveland Guardian subtext at cleveland.com/subtext is a way to join. Or if you want to send a text to 216-298-4346, and you know, messaging rates are, it's $3.99 a month to subscribe. And then, you know, you have a conversation with us, and it's a lot of fun. We're doing a lot of fun stuff with the folks on Subtext here on our Guardians coverage. Hoynsey, we do enjoy going back and forth. We got to get another Guardian Subtext Zoom call going pretty soon. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got a couple of requests for those, Joe. We're gonna have to set one of those up, definitely.
Well, the schedule has been so unusual lately. It's you know, making it difficult, but we'll find maybe an off day or an afternoon game and do one in the evening there when everybody can join in. Speaking of joining in, Brian Shaw, Emmanuel Class A last night, they come out of the bullpen, shut things down. Class A, after struggling to find his fastball command, I think is looking pretty good his last few outings.
Yeah, definitely. That's an encouraging thing. You know, he kind of, you know, he was one of those. It looked like he's walking a tightrope, you know, the first few times out. His stuff was there, but he'd kind of give up either a leadoff hit or a two out hit, you know, and put that one or two run lead in danger. But last night he was pretty dominant. He was not fooling around. And of course, you know, he went back to the top of the lineup. He got Bo Bichette to end it. And you know, Vladimir Guerrero is waiting on deck after Bichette. So that was a good out to get, a good way to close that game.
Yeah. What do you see in Bo Bichette? You know, he's not like his dad, who would just like mash home runs out of Coors Field. This guy puts the bat on the ball as good as anybody in the American League right now.
Yeah. I love that guy, man. I mean, he is, you know, he had what, three hits. He was three for three in his first three at bats. Singles, you know, he doesn't get cheated. You know, he's got a good feel for the strike zone. I mean, he wore Savali out in the fifth inning, in the sixth inning. He fouled off a lot of pitches. Mm-hmm. Savali finally gives up the single. You know, then he hits Guerrero, gets the next two guys, and then gives up the double to Zach Collins. It kind of, you know, knocked him out of the game and really made it, you know, made it a ball game. But you know, just a patient hitter and a really aggressive hitter, man. Mm-hmm. He goes up there swinging and he makes contact.
But you know, it's funny you said that the deep at bat that he had against Savali really sort of wore him out. And I know Carl Willis had to come out and, you know, give him a breather after that, just to recollect himself. But those are the kind of at-bats that the young hitters in the Guardians dugout should be looking at and saying, and have been, and we've seen them. I believe, you know, Palacios had a couple of bats like that. That's a typical Stephen Kwan at-bat. See as many pitches as you can, flick a few off and you know, foul and stay in the count and stay alive that way and really make a pitcher work so hard that the next guy up is the one who benefits.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that's a good learning lesson. I'm sure they were watching him because he's not that big a guy, Joe. I don't know. I've never stood next to him. I haven't talked to him, but he doesn't look like his dad. His dad was a big guy, you know, looked like you said, a home run hitter. This kid is playing shortstop and, you know, kind of wiry, tall, but he's a good looking ball player.
Well, speaking of home run hitters, a notorious home run hitter will be rejoining the Columbus Clippers as Bobby Bradley cleared waivers and was outrighted to AAA in Columbus. And Logan Allen, he's heading to Baltimore after the two were designated for assignment on Sunday night. We learned their destinations yesterday. Logan Allen heading to Baltimore, and since nobody claimed Bobby Bradley, Cleveland outrighted him to AAA, where, you know, that's where he became the assassin down at AAA and, you know, hit 160 some home runs, or I'm sorry, drove in 160 some runs, hit like 45 home runs in his time there in Columbus. So, you know, what's the future hold for Bobby Bradley there?
Well, hopefully Bobby, you know, get some playing time, get some regular playing time. Now, I don't know how much it is. He still in Cleveland's plans. You know, I guess he is. They must see some value in him, or they would have just outright released him, you know, but because this was the first time he'd been outrighted, you know, placing outright waivers. You know, he didn't have a say in whether, you know, he could refuse him and become a free agent. So he had to accept the assignment. Maybe he gets, you know, some playing time, some regular playing time, because he certainly wasn't getting it up here.
Right.
And gets his swing back, makes some contact, and makes himself a viable, you know, viable player for either, you know, Cleveland or somebody else, or to be involved in a trade. I would think he's out of options. He's a free agent at the end of the year, but, you know, he's got to put some numbers up, Joe, and just to, you know, to enhance his value.
Yeah, I think, you know, barring any unforeseen injuries or anything like that, I don't know that we would see him back up here in Cleveland this year. but you know, maybe he can make himself an attractive piece for someone to sign, you know, in the offseason. Who knows? As far as Allen goes, I mean, Baltimore needs starting rotation help, so who knows if he's going to slot in there. They lost John Means to a elbow surgery, Tommy John surgery, and you know, not that Logan Allen is a replacement for John Means, but you know, that he can certainly help with their depth.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's another chance for Logan Allen. What do they say about lefties, Joe? They never go out of style, right? You can pitch forever. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Logan, you know, like Bradley, gets some regular work, gets an opportunity, and takes advantage of it. You know, kind of like Adam Plutko, kind of for an instant there, revived his career. You know, he got another year in the big leagues. So, you know, maybe Logan can find whatever the light goes on for him, because he had some decent stuff. It just looked like sometimes a moment would get overwhelm him. It just did to me. Maybe he's a reliever, but it looks like he'll get a shot, you know, in the rotation for Baltimore.
Yeah, and maybe knowing that somebody needed him or wanted him in that situation will give him a little more confidence to go out there and pitch well. Speaking of pitching well, but you know, being sidelined for a little while, top pitching prospect Daniel Espino, placed on the 7-day injured list for where was he? He was at AA. He was at
Akron. He's at Akron.
He was at Akron. It's a right knee problem with Espino. Yeah,
patella tendon, tendonitis.
So nothing surgical or torn up or anything like that. Just that's the kind of thing where you probably need a week off and then a week to get yourself back, you know, throwing again, and then he'll be back. But you know, he was doing well before the injury sidelined him.
Oh my goodness! Francona said when he read the scouting reports, all he saw was a lot of exclamation points, exclamation marks in the scouting reports. I mean, 35 strikeouts in 18 and a third innings. What was the one game he had, Joe? He struck out the first 11 guys he
right.
had faced. So this is, you know, this is former number one pick by the organization. They're going to take good care of him. And, you know, I was thinking he might have a chance to get up here, you know, make the jump from AA to Cleveland this year. We'll have to see how he responds to this injury.
Well, and if he comes back and he's still throwing, you know, top 90s, you know, touching 100 with his fastball, you know, yeah, that might be a chance, might be a possibility, could happen, but I don't see, is he on the 40 man yet? He's not on the 40 man yet, is he? He doesn't have to be on the 40 man until after this year. So
yeah, because they would have protected him if he was
correct. Yeah. So I think he goes on the 40 man at the end of this season, and you will definitely see him next season. But you know, unless they have a real urgent need, I don't see him coming up to the big league club this year, unless he forces it, like you said, unless he forces it. But this injury probably sets him, erases that chance if he has to, you know, rehab or anything like that.
And I think he's had it before too. I think I remember Francona saying this was kind of a reoccurring thing. So I'm sure they're not going to take, you know, overwork him or overexpose him.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you throw, you know, 100 miles an hour like that, and you're compact size like he is, that's the kind of repetitive injury that probably crops up. Speaking of injuries that cropped up, Gabriel Arias did have surgery on his hand after he suffered a fracture at the beginning of the week. So he is out for 6 to 8 weeks, is the report. So that really sort of throws a monkey wrench in Gabriel Arias's plans or chances to be able to get back up here with the big league club after making his debut in the doubleheader against Chicago a couple weeks ago. We really thought that was them just sort of giving him a taste, sending him back down to refine some things, and then he would be back up. That's not going to be the case now. And really this sort of turns into a, you know, how good can he get himself back, you know, once he comes back from this injury?
Yeah, this, you know, really an unfortunate injury because, like you said, Joe, this kid was on the fast track. You know, we've seen him a lot in spring training the last two springs. you know, kind of dominated at Triple A last year when he was what, 22, 23 years old. He was ready. He was probably big league ready. And, you know, this sets him back 6 to 8 weeks, like you said, and they're going to call, I think he's coming up to Cleveland this weekend for a visit. You know, Terry Francona wants to talk to him, just kind of see how they can maybe, you know, continue his development, or, you know, just because he can't swing, or, you know, maybe just to give him a little bit of a pep talk, you know, that don't get your head down and just keep going forward. You know, time is on his side and so is talent. So, mm-hmm. you know, one way or the other, we're going to see him up here in Cleveland within the next 2 years.
Well, the other guy that, you know, time is coming and talent is coming down at Double A, Brian Rocchio is tearing things up as well. Seeing highlights of him pretty much every night, driving the ball now. And we've seen him the last couple of years in spring training games as well. So very exciting, you know, two prospects, you know, Arias right now, maybe going a little slower, but by the end of the year, I would expect Brian Rocchio to be a big part of that Columbus lineup as well.
Great point, because Tyler Freeman just came back. You lose Arias, you know, now you can manipulate that middle infield if you bring Rocchio up. And, you know, that's going to be fun. I'd pay to see those two guys play in the middle of the diamond. That would be, the Clippers fans are hopefully in the near future are going to get their, you know, going to have a treat for themselves.
Absolutely. All right, Hoynesy, if the weather holds out, we will we'll have a game tonight. The Guardians will send Shane Bieber to the mound against Kevin Gausman. Should be a good pitching matchup if it happens. If not, we'll have updates, and our Subtext subscribers will be the first to know if the game is postponed or not. We'll know probably somewhere around the 4 or 5 o'clock hour if that happens. So stay tuned there. Good to talk to you again. We'll be in touch on Monday when we hear from you, and I believe in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
All right. We'll talk to you then.
All right, Joe. Stay dry tonight.